Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. So what's going on with you?
Man, quite a bit, honestly. Well, I don't know about quite a bit, but this weekend I've planned to go camping and I need to get stuff ready for that. And I'm supposed to go rock climbing tonight. I'm not sure if that's going to still keep up with the camping thing tomorrow. Let's see what else. Yesterday there was drama at work, man.
Yeah, dude.
But if we start talking about that, it'll take probably like 40 minutes to go through. Not even joking.
All right.
Yeah, I think I spent like how many hours yesterday? Like maybe 3 or 4 hours yesterday talking to different people that like just randomly called me and I was like ranting to them.
Like drama, kind of drama about work or just at work?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of fucking annoying. It obviously included me. I was like the centerpiece of it. So just dumb. A lot of like misunderstandings. No. The bosses were misunderstanding like things that I was doing and like time. Like for example, here's just an easy example of like just one of the stupid things that happened.
Okay.
Last week I took PTO one Friday, eight hours because I was going to a wedding.
Right.
And so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I had already worked. I think one day was 10 and a half hours. The other day was 9.5. The other day was like maybe 9 hours. And so on Thursday I like left early because I already hit my 40 hours and I let them know. I was like, hey, I hit my 40 hours. I'm going to head out. I'll see you next week. So I left and the day before yesterday, I had like a lattice review, which is a review with like my performance, and everything was good with my principal. Everything was good in that review. There's no like comments, nothing. It was all productive, good stuff. And then the day after, they call me into a room and they basically like start talking. I'm like, where was this yesterday? Like, if this is an issue, basically they brought up, they were like last week. And this is just one of the things that is just like dumb. And I'll explain how dumb it is. They were like, last week you took off early. And I don't understand how, like, we're working the same hours. You come in basically when I do and I leave a little earlier or when you do. So I don't understand how you hit 40 hours early on Thursday and we're able to leave. And I was like, wait, hold up. What? And like, they think they have me like in like the situation to where like I'm cheating work out of like, you know, however many hours of work. And I just left early without, you know, any disregard for the work or my coworkers and all that stuff. And I was like, and she like pulled out her phone, like started doing the math. And then I realized, I was like, I'm not going to mention her name, but I was like, hey, like you have to add the 8 hours that I took for PTO on Friday.
Yeah.
That adds into the week of 40 hours. And like, she did that. And she was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then she looked at my principal. She goes, does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And then like next thing, I'm like, you guys just hounded me. Ridiculous. And basically were accusing me of leaving early last week. You know, and like leaving my coworkers and just saying I worked 40 hours when I really didn't. And they forgot to add a whole fucking day where I took PTO time. I was just like that kind of stupid shit, dude. Oh, so annoying.
That's wild.
Yeah. So dumb shit at work. But honestly, like overall, I've had a pretty good week. I just came back from the wedding last weekend and that went very well. Yeah. All good with me though. What about you? Nice. What you been up to?
Been a pretty, I don't want to say lonely cause that feels sad, but I have been alone all week cause Elena is in San Antonio right now for a vet conference thing, learning a bunch of stuff. And, obviously after all the learning, going and doing some partying with her vet friends, but
crazy partying,
I've just been here by myself. I've been hanging out with the animals.
You're all alone and sad. Is that what I'm hearing right now?
I'm not sad. I just like
you're alone and sad. It's okay, Cayman.
But things have been, I guess, pretty standard work wise. But today we did.
Are you sick? By the way,
what?
Are you sick?
Do I sound sick?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's weird.
Hold on a second.
Oh, that might have been it, yeah.
Is that better?
No. Never mind, just keep going.
No, I'm not sick, so.
Interesting, okay. Maybe your voice is just tired sounding, or you haven't used it all day. I don't know.
But after work today, so our office has like a rent-a-street kind of a thing. So we're like in charge of keeping a certain like area of the city
clean.
Right.
And like so adopted.
Right. Yeah. I adopt a street, not rent a street. That's what I meant to say. But we, so after work today, we went out and picked up some trash and then got back to the office and had some margaritas.
Damn, nice.
That was fun. They weren't very strong margaritas, but that's honestly better because everyone's still got to drive home.
Yeah, true. That's true. But I mean, that still sounds like a good time. Hell yeah. Yeah.
And it was, it wasn't super dirty. There was like one section that had just like a big pile of trash, but it was like someone had just like thrown out like a plastic Christmas tree and there was like an ottoman just on the side of the road.
Oh my god, dude, that's unreal.
And we found like almost a whole outfit. I think we found sandals, we found a hat, and we found a pair of pants. The only thing we were missing was a shirt and we would have had a whole outfit.
Oh my god.
But yeah, we picked up some good stuff. Made our city a little bit more beautiful.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I was still a little bit ticked off because you were talking about like work things. And my work is, I think it just ended. My work had one at the end of the day today.
Yeah.
Where it goes till like 5:30. I'm not sure, but I definitely skipped out on it. I was like, I don't want to be a part of anything right now with work people. So yeah. I didn't go. But
I wasn't planning on going originally, but I just happened to finish all the stuff that I was trying to finish today. So
I mean, are you getting paid for that being out there?
Yeah, it wasn't like after work. We left the office at like 3:30. So it was just like the last hour and a half of work was picking up trash.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad your firm did that. That's great.
Yeah.
Anywho, besides our personal fun lives, what are we talking about today with the audience?
So today we are going to be talking about the 2018 movie Black Panther, directed by Ryan Coogler and written by Ryan Coogler and Joe Robert Cole.
Okay.
The budget was about $200 million and they made about a little over $1.3 billion.
Oh, wow.
It was a very, very popular movie.
Okay, so let me ask you, because I don't know if everyone knows, but the main character of the Black Panther passed away. Chadwick Boseman, yes. Do you believe that had anything to do with the box numbers going up?
Well, he was still alive when the movie came out, so I would say no.
Oh, no. Okay. Wait, when did he pass away? I thought he actually missed the opening.
No, this movie came out in 2018. He died in 2020.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Damn. Yeah, but RIP him. I remember when that was like a big thing and I was like, damn, I'd never even seen that movie.
Yeah,
but
he was battling colon cancer for 4 years. And so he was actually already 2 years into having cancer when this movie came out.
Yeah. There's like tons of clips of like him like falling asleep on like the stage where they were doing interviews and stuff like that. Because he didn't tell anyone. He was very private regarding that. Let's see.
So, but what did you think about Black Panther?
You know, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Had you seen this one before?
I had not, no. But it was very, I think it was fun for me to watch. I don't know if I would watch it again. And maybe I would just to get like a better understanding of it. But I didn't see any like annoying things that like stood out to me that like ruined the movie for me. I had a good time watching it. And I think the actors were great. Yeah. Chadwick Boseman did a great job. I don't know. Like, there's nothing about it that I can, you know, deduct points for.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, nothing like, not even, you know, like in the last film that we talked about, Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I talked about the Hulk's voice. And that was like one of those things that's like small. But like, to me, it was like a big deal.
Right.
There's nothing like that here. So
I definitely had a few things that I was not a fan of, but way more good than bad.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe the bad will come up when I start talking about it with you, but as far as I can like remember, there's nothing.
But yeah, nothing too crazy. I think this is a one of like definitely top tier Marvel movie. And I know it was a big deal for a lot of people because obviously there have been like black superheroes prior to this, but this is like the first, this is the first superhero movie where the main character is like actually African. I feel like most black superheroes before this were either British or American or
interesting.
This is like an actual African superhero, and I know that meant a lot to a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, I can totally see that being a big deal. I mean, it obviously is very interesting. Yeah, I just wanted to like kind of the whole movie to me was like very straightforward almost. Did you get that feeling? Or I mean, if you think about it, do you agree?
Like plot wise?
Yeah. I think it was like very linear, and like there's nothing that like surprised me, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah. Like it was like one of those movies where I feel like in some movies when something surprising happens, right, it adds a certain like wow factor to it. But since this movie just to me was so straightforward, like although it was a great movie, it made it like bland in the way like right now if I think about it.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing that like pops out to me of like, wow, that was amazing or that was really cool, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out, that like although it was a great movie, to me it was a bit, you know, very monotone, although it was good, you know.
Yeah, I think I feel like I'm already starting to like want to talk about it, so
okay,
we'll go ahead and we'll take a second and let's take a step into the boxing ring.
Let's do it.
Do you want to go first or should I?
I can go first.
All right, go for it.
Man, I hope I remember the plot of this movie properly. Holy.
Well, you just said it was straightforward, so.
It's so straightforward that it would, like, you know, like, nothing stood out. So, like, okay. Let's see. The Black Panther looking, the Black Panther, I don't even know what to call them. The Wakandan people were trying to retrieve an artifact that went missing from a museum. And they ran into someone whom they weren't expecting. They didn't know was alive or existed, who then put the Wakandan people in danger, which is when the Black Panther had to step in and step up. I'm just going to leave it there because I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. I'll say following the death of his father, T'Challa is crowned King of Wakanda. But when a Wakandan stranger appears and challenges him for the throne, T'Challa must rethink his responsibilities to his people and the world.
Oh, that was good. I forgot his name. That was good. And I forgot about the challenging thing, this fighting ceremony. That's good. All right, what's the OG one say?
Oh boy, this is a pretty long one.
Oh no.
It says, King T'Challa returns home from America to the reclusive, technologically advanced African nation of Wakanda to serve as his country's new leader. However, T'Challa soon finds that he is challenged for the throne by factions within his own country as well as without. Using powers reserved for Wakandan kings, T'Challa assumes the Black Panther mantle to join with his girlfriend Nakia, the queen mother, his princess kid sister, members of the Dora Milaje, the Wakandan special forces, and an American secret agent to prevent Wakanda from being dragged into a world war.
Oh my god. Okay.
I think way too much information.
That was so much information.
They pretty much just listed every character in the movie.
Holy crap. Oh my god. I guess I'll give it to you though, because they talked about the ceremony and I never talked about the ceremony.
Challenge whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a wild one. But
that was insane.
I feel like the first half of that I felt pretty solid about. Like I got a lot of stuff, but the second half was just like, let me tell you everyone that helped him in this movie.
Yeah. Holy moly.
I like how specify it said the Dora Milaje and then in parentheses, the Wakandan Special Forces.
Yeah. Right when you said that, I started like laughing. I was like, what's going on here? Why'd they have to list his girlfriend?
Also, I don't think Nakia... They
was his girlfriend.
Right. They said several times in the movie they that were she's his ex.
Yeah. So I think at one point they got together again.
I think at the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
But they definitely were not boyfriend, girlfriend during the events of the movie.
No. See, so they honestly, also gave away...
Flat out lie.
Yeah. They also gave away that they were together. Look at that. We're going to be together. Jeez Louise.
Anyway, we're going to take a short break and then we'll be back to talk more in depth.
All right.
All right, Luke, are you ready to give us a good warning?
What are you talking about? I don't do the warnings.
The spoiler warning.
Yeah, I don't know those. That's someone else. Someone we don't.
You're
know.
Ridiculous right now.
This is the spoiler warning.
Hey, I don't know who that was. It wasn't me.
Honestly, I hope that sounded good because on my end, I literally didn't hear any of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it.
That happens a lot though. Sometimes like your audio just like doesn't go through Discord, but then when I'm like listening to it later while I'm editing, it shows up and I'm like, oh, that's what he said.
Oh, you're like, oh. Yeah,
there have been a couple times where I'll be editing and like you say something and then like 2 seconds later I'll say the exact same thing and I'm like, oh, it's because I didn't hear you say it.
Oh, okay, that's funny. I didn't know that. Discord's dumb sometimes.
Yeah,
I don't know. Or it's my compressor on my mic. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. What part do you want to start on?
Okay, so...
Because I have a note of, like, the very first scene when, you know, they're in that room, that drug deal-ish thing is going on.
Yeah.
I have something about that, but if you have something prior...
I mean, I've got something for that scene.
Okay, mine is kind of a question.
Okay.
Where the hell did the king come from? I mean, that dude just appeared out of thin air.
Yeah, because he's sneaky.
That's it? He's sneaky?
I mean, they turn the lights out for a bit. So you just snuck in while the lights are out.
Bro, come on. He was just standing there and it made it seem like, oh, he like appeared out of thin air. I don't know, man. I feel like the entrance for the king could have been way better than like all of a sudden him just like standing there because the lights went out for a little second or two. I was like, what? Okay.
I didn't have any issue with the sneakiness, but one of my small negatives was that I don't know, something about his like king voice that he was like putting on, it just like felt so ridiculous when like after he took the helmet off it was fine because he was just like speaking normal, but like when he first showed up and he was like, leave us, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
yeah true. I didn't even think of that.
So like put on, you know?
Yeah I totally get that. I mean, I was just distracted by a warrior he came from. So yeah, his voice was kind of weird at the start, like to sound more kingly and deep, and yeah. I don't know, why does a king's voice have to sound deep, huh?
Get out of here. I'm the king. Get out of here, I'm the king.
That just makes me think of like King Julian, that show. And my name is King Julian. Although I mean, you know, he's deeper voice, but still it's funny. Anywho, so your negative was with the king's voice there.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little silly.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, a little silly. What a silly goose.
Well, silly goose. One thing that I guess this is more of just like general. I feel like a lot of the things that I liked are very general things. Like I really liked the soundtrack in this film was just so good.
I agree.
It was obviously because they were inspired by a lot of African music, and so a lot of the soundtrack was very drum centric.
Right. And right.
There was like especially two moments that really stood out was when they first fly into Wakanda and there's like that big like trumpet like riff, and it's like it's almost like a drum beat, but just like with trumpets.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And then there's when T'Challa goes to the ancestral plane and he's talking to his father, there's like this beautiful like violin melody in the background, and that was gorgeous. And so like a lot of the music was very powerful and well put together, I think, in this movie.
I kind of agree with you. I mean, I was jamming to some, that was one of my notes. I was jamming to some of the music while it was going on. Like even during some of the fight scenes, some music would start playing, or I'm gonna kind of jump ahead a bit, but like when it was like the quote unquote evil Black Panther, I'm gonna call him evil, like the music changed and it was like dark and gloomy and like, oh, you could tell, you know, this is the dark and evil, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the music was great for sure.
Speaking of, since you mentioned Killmonger.
Yes.
I did like, I don't know, I guess I don't really have any like hard evidence that this was on purpose, but the outfit that he's wearing for a lot of the movie like reminds me of Vegeta.
And it was Vegeta.
He's a character from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, look up a picture of Vegeta real quick, and right. I'm like, his outfit looks very similar to the one that Killmonger was wearing. It's like the metal chest plate with a blue shirt and like yellow straps.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not the blue though, right?
What?
Interesting. Yeah, I can see it.
And I know that Michael B. Jordan, who played Killmonger, is like actually kind of a nerd. And so I've seen interviews with him talking about Dragon Ball Z, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if he like purposely wanted to look like Vegeta.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he did. Like, there's no way. Also, his hair was kind of like, you know, Vegeta's was standing up.
Yeah.
There are like side by side like images of these two, and dude, it is so similar.
I'm telling you.
Like, even like the, you know how Killmonger had like those leather straps on the top. It kind of represents Dragon Ball Z's Vegeta's like gold straps.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Wow. He even has like this little, oh my God, no way. These have to be alike. He also has like the little shoulder pad, like rivet things that.
Yep.
Okay. Very cool. Huh. What a nerd. What a weeb. What a weeb, dude.
It was cool though.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool comparison. Yeah. I think he was a great actor, by the way, in the movie. I think. Like, he did such a good job of like staying serious and like really believing in what like he thought was right.
Yeah, I think this is a one of the first, if not the first, of the MCU movies where you like can really feel sympathy for the villain.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of like previous villains, like in Thor Ragnarok with Hela, like she's just evil. She's like, I want to take over Asgard and conquer all the realms, and like Loki wants to conquer Earth, and like a lot of bad guys are just like bad. I think there's like a maybe a hint of it with Spider-Man, because the Vulture is like trying to take care of his family, but it's like even then he's like robbing and murdering people. Like, it's not really, it's harder to make it seem like he's doing a good thing. But Killmonger, like, he talks so much in this movie about why he's doing what he's doing, and like people all over the world are being oppressed and we have the technology to save them and we can help them rise up against the people that have been treating them wrong for generations. And like, you really get it. Like, obviously it's bad to throw guns around the world and help a bunch of people kill a bunch of other people, but like, you almost like feel for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think like a lot of the time, like with what he was explaining in his viewpoint, I guarantee you there are people that watch this movie that 100% hands down agreed with him.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's not that far fetched, quite honestly. I obviously get where the Wakandan people were coming from, but at the same time, I also get where Killmonger was coming from and why he was so frustrated, because he lived in that world and he saw, you know, all of that, you know, heartache and pain everywhere.
And you can tell that like his, like, not only did he like physically challenge T'Challa, but like he sort of like philosophically challenged him as well. Like in the beginning of the movie, T'Challa was like 100% gonna do what his dad did and what previous kings before him did. He was like, no, this technology is dangerous. We have to keep Wakanda like blocked off from the rest of the world so that nothing bad happens. And then after having this interaction with Killmonger and thinking about how people are suffering everywhere else, like right. by the end of the movie, he sort of like changes his mind and he is like, no, we should help people. Maybe not with a bunch of guns and weapons, but we definitely could be doing more to like facilitate the well-being of other people.
Yeah. And we saw that happen when he went to that other realm and he talked to all of the prior leaders.
Right.
And he basically told them that they were wrong, that yeah. we should have already been helping people because we had that. No, they had that power. And, you know, I, like you said, that question that Killmonger challenged him with, really, even when he was dying, he was like, no, you guys are wrong. I have to go back. I have to fix this and I have to make it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
quite awesome.
And you see, especially like how, I guess, hardcore Killmonger's beliefs are when he like even after he's been defeated and he's literally dying, like there's not a question in his mind that he was doing the right thing.
Yeah. I think the movie is also very strong because at the time this was coming out, there was a lot of Black Lives Matter movement going on and a lot of like police brutality and like just senseless deaths and all that stuff. And like, I feel like right when this movie came out, the viewpoints that the movie carries, both with Black pride, as well as like they're, you know, they're strong as a nation, as a people, is just like, it carries both sides of like what an African-American like could value or, you know, has valued. I don't know. What do you think about that? Like, obviously I can't really speak on that front, but I don't know. I think it's interesting.
I feel like it's, I guess, more, it like speaks to a deeper level than that, because obviously like you see the situations that Killmonger is talking about, definitely like it alludes to things like police brutality, and especially like you see he grew up in like Oakland and talking about like people getting murdered and all sorts of stuff and the like prison population and just all sorts of things like that. But I feel like where the movie like really like goes out of its way to sort of project a message is less about the like African American struggle and more just about like African unity as a whole, and talking about, especially because, and like Killmonger does talk about it, but like obviously not only with African Americans but African diaspora around the world. And so it hits a lot of different levels, and I think that I guess I don't really know how to put it into words, but
yeah, I mean, I have no say in like that conversation. All I can tell you is that like the way that I saw it, you know, in the depth that I saw, is that it spoke both to needing and wanting and having to do a change now, because now is the time and they need it the most.
Right.
At the same time, the offensive was that what we have already gained and protected over this long time isn't worth to destroy and break by doing something drastic, if that makes sense.
And you see even like Killmonger's mission seems to be very focused on helping Black people, but then at the same time, while he's arguing with T'Challa in the throne room, he even brings up that he says, well, didn't humanity originate in Africa? So everyone is your people.
Yeah, right. He did say that. Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot. And you can go into multiple directions with how you want it to view it, you know?
But it's very, it's not too like heady about it. It's very like there are these deep messages in there, but it's distilled down enough that it can be like push these ideas towards you, but not in a way where it's like preachy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you saw like it couldn't be preachy because you saw the main character wrestle with his own beliefs, but then also take into account other people's viewpoints and like really think about it and understand. So I like I said, like you said, it couldn't have come across preachy just because of that itself. I don't know. Yeah. I think they did it. They were very well versed in like what lines they wanted to walk and how they wanted to say things.
Another thing that I wanted to point out was I really liked the architecture, and especially during that first shot when they fly into Wakanda and you see all of the like
the high rises,
skyscrapers, yeah, and like everything has this sort of like Afrofuturism aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
And it's like not something that you see a lot of, and it's nice to be able to like imagine because obviously there are like basic principles of design where like in order to get a building up to like 300, 400 feet, like you have to follow some rules.
Right.
But from a design aspect, I think a lot of the major cities that we see today are come from a background of Eurocentric design. Does that make sense? And I feel like you can see a lot of difference in that as well, even when looking at like large Asian cities, like the skyscrapers in a place like Shanghai or in Tokyo, like they don't look like American and European skyscrapers. They're like right. similar, but you can tell that there's like the architects that are designing those buildings have a different history and a different culture that is influencing their design. And
right, yeah.
Because there aren't really any big like modern city. I mean, there are like modern cities, but there's no Shanghai in Africa. And so seeing like the ideas of what someone with an African background could bring to a more futuristic building design, I think is really exciting.
Yeah, I agree with you. But like, I also have to say that although they did show like the city prior to when they flew in and whatnot, I was still very confused at like the city that we saw prior to, then the plains that we saw where there were huts and people were, you know, farming the sheep, herding the sheep.
Yeah.
Versus where their main building is. I couldn't put those three things together.
Okay, so there's like the downtown city, which is where the throne room is, and there's like that big it's like circular on the bottom, and there's like two or three towers coming out of it, and that's like where all of the official business is happening.
Uh-huh.
And that's like the downtown area where all the skyscrapers and stuff are. And then out like farther away from the city, there's the mountain of Vibranium, which is where Shuri's lab is, and that right. is where the like the giant panther statue, and that's where the final battle takes place, is right. outside the lab. But the lab is like not near the city. You can kind of see it in the like in the last shot when T'Challa takes Killmonger up to watch the sunset,
yeah.
and they're like looking out over the trees, and you can see the city in the background, sort of like give you a reference of how far away it is.
Okay, maybe I just didn't see that part, but man, I was just confused. Like I was just confused because all of a sudden it was like winter, but then it went back to summer.
Oh yeah. Okay, so that was the other is when they visit the Jabari tribe. So the Jabari live like way up in the mountains. So that's why it was snowy there, because they're like at a much higher altitude.
But I mean, we never see like a giant mountain like that. That's a fat fucking mountain if they're up there and it's snowing. And then remember he like fell off the cliff. So I don't know. The whole thing was just very confusing to me. I couldn't put it together in my head to where.
Well, you just like, have to think he fell off the cliff into a river. Obviously his body's going to float downstream. So downstream somewhere, there's a giant mountain.
See what I'm saying? Like it went downstream and then like some farmer picked him up on his wheelbarrow. And then wheelbarrowed him all the way up this giant ass mountain, all the way up to where it started snowing.
How buff all of them are?
I don't know, man. That's a fucking tall ass mountain to climb. Like even here in Colorado, if you go up, you know, a 14er,
I mean, yeah, but which like, would take if you, you a live whole day. At the top of a mountain and you have to fish, like, you got to imagine that those fishermen are probably used to carrying, like, loads of fish up the mountain. So one person is nothing.
I don't know, man. That, I mean, you can make an argument like you just did, but I just think it's kind of a stretch that this dude falls off the mountain while almost dying. And he goes into, like, this, like, you know, like, it looks like almost like Niagara Falls, like all these waterfalls going in, like, this pit.
It's definitely, it's completely unrealistic that he survived that fall.
Yeah.
But I'm like, as far as like the geography goes, I feel like it makes sense to me where everything is.
So it makes sense to you that in Central Africa, there is a giant mountain where on the top it's snowing?
There are snowy mountains in Africa.
Not during the summer, though.
Yeah.
What?
Bro.
I need to Google this. I literally Googled snowy mountains in Africa. Seasonal snow does exist on the highest peaks of East Africa, as well as in the Drakensberg range of South Africa. But I mean, if you look at these pictures, it's like, I mean, the tallest one is Mount Kilimanjaro, which is 19,000 feet up. I don't know. Anyway, that was just something I thought of when we were talking about it.
I just sent you a picture of Mount Kenya.
Yeah, that one's 17,000 feet up. Yeah. I can't imagine. That's just like the little tip, though, dude. I can't imagine anyone with a wheelbarrow going up that with a dude to, like, I don't know, man. Like, it was so much snow. It was like winter blowing out there. And like, I don't know, man. I guess it was maybe magic, but I think their magic only like surrounded them so that no one could tell what it was inside. So
it wasn't even magic. That was technology.
Technology. Okay, well, which is a good bridge to my question. All of their tech that they got.
Yeah.
How did they surpass the whole rest of the world just because of this like one metal that they had, which, I mean, sure, you can have this metal, but you wouldn't know how to use it properly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they've had thousands of years to learn how to use it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like their tech was crazy good. I mean, yeah, amazing.
Because of the vibranium.
Yeah, but do you remember those little pebbles that she put in like the gun wound? To stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
Something like that is what I was talking like about way long ago in one of our other episodes of like, if they have such good technology, why can't they just, you know, make this thing that they put in the wound and it like stops the bleeding at least, you know, rather than like wrapping it in like, you know, old school stuff. Something like that is what I was thinking.
I think that was during our Age of Ultron discussion.
Was it?
Because, what was it? Hawkeye got shot or something like that.
Yeah. And they have like great tech there too, you know?
Yeah, but they ain't got nothing on Wakanda.
Maybe, yeah.
But also, well, they need to learn a lesson. I will say, I think it's the technology in Wakanda approaches ridiculousness. I think being able to like shove the ball into the wound and they're like, oh, that's a temporary fix, but we still need to like get him back to our lab so we can proper fix him. Like that's like right at the edge of like, okay, that makes sense. Because I know there's definitely like, have you seen any of the Kingsman movies?
I have not, no.
So in Kingsman 2, they introduce this like super secret piece of government technology that you can like literally bring someone back from a headshot. You just like wrap this thing around their head and it fills up with gel. And then somehow they survive being shot in the face.
Holy fuck, dude. I mean, those things could actually be real. You know, like we don't fucking know. We're not privy to that information.
I don't know, man.
If us as regular Joes get shot in the face, we're going to be dead shot in the face versus, let's say, maybe the president gets shot in the face.
You forget that several presidents have been shot in the face.
Yeah, but that was like way back when, you know?
I don't think technology is there yet.
No, probably not. But they probably have some great ass tech that we don't know of.
And even if you could like somehow keep them alive, like, there's still a hole in their brain. Like they would definitely be not the same person.
Just fix up the brain. Easy. Sew it back together, dude. Chill out.
Ridiculous.
duh.
But I did like their, so they had those, the little, I forget what they're called now, but the little bead things that you were talking about. And then there was also like several times they had like these little, like pools of like dust almost. Like the tiny like black powder stuff, and then like they had it in there was even some of it like in the beads that they used when they were doing like FaceTime with each other, there would be like the little like black dust.
Oh,
like,
right.
When they Shuri was like remote controlling the car, like her seat was made out of the dust, and there's just like it's they never really explain it, but it's like this very cool technology where it's just like, yeah, you can just like kind of do whatever with it, and it'll just like take the shape of items.
Right. Yeah. Shit's dope. I remember when she was FaceTiming that one lady and she just popped up in her hand.
Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah. That's kind of what we want for our future. Like, quit with the iPhone 14 being the same as the iPhone 10, you know? Like, man, but make a hologram.
Didn't you see the dynamic island?
What?
Bro, have you watched the release video for the iPhone 14?
Lord, no, I haven't. I've seen all the memes.
This is side note, completely unrelated to the movie. But so obviously there's like the notch on the top of the iPhone where the speaker and camera and all that stuff are.
Right. They got rid of that.
And so instead of like trying to hide that or like push it off to the top of the screen, they've like integrated it. So rather than being like cut out from the top, it's like it's a little lower down. So it looks like a little black pill on the top of your screen. But then instead of just being for the camera and the speaker, they've like they're using it for like notifications and stuff now, so that it feels like it's part of the screen and not just interrupting it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool, but meh. Not a hologram.
It's weird. I mean, yeah, it's definitely not hologram level, but
man, they need to watch this movie and get some ideas. You know what I'm saying?
I will say I also a smaller thing that I noticed that I've seen this movie a couple times, and this is the first time that I really noticed it, is how much they just like throw little snippets of like dialogue in there that sort of like fills in the like the lore of the world. Like obviously in the beginning you see the whole thing where it's like the giant vibranium meteor fell to Earth and then five tribes came together and then one person became the king and four of the tribes sort of followed the king, and then the Jabari tribe was like, "Nah, we're not gonna do that shit," and they went off into the mountains,
right?
And so they're like completely separate from the king of Wakanda. But during the challenge, the first challenge, when M'Baku challenges T'Challa, while they're fighting, he makes several comments about like, "Where is your god now?" And like, I think at one point he says, like, "Glory to Hanuman," or something like that. And I didn't really pick up on those lines before, but it makes sense that like all the four tribes that are like proper in Wakanda obviously all worship the panther god Bast, but the Jabari worship a gorilla god named Hanuman. And so even just like this, like they're doing this whole ceremonial battle or whatever, and even in the midst of that they're like discussing their difference of religion.
Yeah. What I don't get.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I mean, continue your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say, I also, because did a little bit of research, but Hanuman is actually not a African god. So Bast is an Egyptian god, and obviously Egypt is in Africa, but Hanuman is actually a Hindu god, and I don't know why they chose to use it here, but I saw that. I guess this is a bonus piece of trivia here, because it was just something that I found out while I was looking up this stuff. But when this movie was released in India, they actually like censored all of the mentions of Hanuman because they didn't want the like Hindu viewers to be offended.
Interesting. I mean, why would they be offended though?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's no way, right? Interesting. Yeah, I thought, like, I kind of want to go back to when you were mentioning the tribes and how one of the tribes broke off of that, basically the kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they can challenge if they broke off from the kingdom faction. You know, if they didn't accept the king as their king and then they moved away to become their own tribe, make their own, you know, whatever possibilities, kingdom. It made no sense to me that all of a sudden they were there and were able to challenge for the throne.
I mean, I don't know. That's whole political situation that they don't really get into, but
I don't know. I just thought, like, I mean, I thought that during the movie too, but then I was like, well, maybe there's something that I just missed. But yeah, all these politics, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So one thing that I like absolutely, like, I really, really disliked, like almost hated, was the nanotech suit. Cause I don't know, something about having just like, oh yeah, you can just like pull your suit out of thin air. It's just, it's boring. And I greatly dislike it.
You dislike it? How come?
It's just, it's not as fun. I like, because remember, I was even saying back when we were talking about like Iron Man, like some of my favorite parts of the Iron Man movies are like watching him suit up and like, oh, I have to like walk through this machine. And it like helps me put my suit on and all this stuff. And like, right. Shuri was like making fun of him, of T'Challa having to like carry his helmet around. And so she was like, oh yeah, you can just like wear this necklace. And then the suit comes out of the necklace. And I'm like, I don't, that's lame. I don't like that. I like having a physical suit that you have to put on.
Yeah, but this is like, dude, they have tech to save lives, even if you're
care.
Fucking
I
dead.
I don't care. I hate it.
You can't be like, yes, have all this amazing tech, but I want you to put on a physical suit where I have to go in with your feet first.
I absolutely
and then your arms.
Can do that.
No, that's not how it works, bro. What? No. Dude, imagine if we were still wearing the same bullshit that we were wearing maybe even 200 years ago. You know how annoying that would be? Holy.
The nanotech suit sucks.
The nanotech suit was sick. I mean, they had so much other tech that I was already worried about. I was like, whatever, dude, they can do
the
little suit
with
thing.
I'm fine with all the other tech. The suit can suck my balls.
LOL. What'd you think about the anti-gravity tram that they had?
Okay, so the train itself was fine. The fight at the end was also dog shit. When like both of them fell down there and they were like fighting each other, I hated that entire fight. It was so boring. I like there were no stakes because they were pretty much invincible until the very, very end. And because they're both wearing their suits 80% of the time, it's like the entire scene is CGI. And like, I don't mind CGI stuff, but like the background is CGI, the train is CGI, the characters are CGI. It just like, it felt so unreal. And so it was like, already this crazy unbelievable thing, and then on top of that you have these two invincible people fighting each other. It's just like it sucked. It kind of really sucked.
I kind of want to agree with you. Like, I thought like that fight scene was supposed to be super sick and like OP and wow, like so much going on, but then like at the same time like it wasn't all that. Yeah. Like, I think it was a great idea to have, you know, turn on the tram to make their suits weaker.
Right.
And then he found like this one little opening in the suit and did like a great attack move and killed him or like stabbed him.
Like, I will say the one thing that like kind of made me smile is another line that somehow I missed the last couple times I've watched it. But when he does that thing and he stabs him in the chest, Killmonger just goes, "That was a hell of a move."
Yeah. That's why I said like the move. Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. But like, you know, I don't know. It was still kind of bland. It was, I don't know. The fight that was going on up top was so much more interesting and cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Like all of a sudden the rhinos come out and I mean, those were okay. But I don't know. I think there was like a lot of dynamic going on with like those shields and then breaking through the shields. And then, oh no, like the next army is here. It was pretty sick up top. And also, you can't forget the, again, they were using that dust technology to fly the ship.
Yeah,
that was also fucking sick. I mean, that was
and
such a good
really
idea.
And you really got to see I feel like for most of the movie, the Dora Milaje are just like an intimidating presence. But then I feel like at the end, when you actually get to see them fight, you're like, these chicks is badass.
Yeah, true. But I think that the big dude from the other tribe kind of took the throne on like being fucking badass.
You mean M'Baku?
M'Baku, bro. That man was massive. I mean,
bro, first of all, massive.
Yeah.
And second of all, oh my gosh, I love M'Baku. First of all, because he's like, I feel like he's a man with very strong morals And you can see that when, like, obviously he's full of himself and he is like, yeah, I want to be king, whatever. But like, when it comes down to it, he does the right thing. And like, even like when they thought that T'Challa was dead and they were like, okay, we're going to take the heart-shaped herb to M'Baku and he can help us fight the guy. And you could see the temptation was there. And he's like, motherfucker, I could have Black Panther powers. And then he was like, no, I can't do that because we found T'Challa and he's alive and you should give it to him instead.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, and then they use it to save his life too. You can't forget that part.
But also he's just fucking hilarious. Like the whole thing about, he was like, one more word out of you and I'll feed you to my children. And he's like, I'm just joking. Vegetarian. We're vegetarians.
When he said that, I kind of lost it. I was like, what the fuck? Oh my God. Oh yeah. That was a good joke.
Yeah. I just feel like he was nice and he was funny, but he's also like, can be powerful and intimidating when he needs to be.
Yeah.
And like every time they rocked up on the scene and they were like fucking beating their chests and howling at each other, I was like, bro,
insane. No, intimidation factor for sure. Yeah. Another thing like I kind of want to bring up is, I don't remember exactly when it came or why it came, but at one point I believe there was supposed to be like a lesson going on, and what they said was that like the ancestors that jumped from ships because they knew that death was better than bondage.
Yeah.
I don't exactly remember why that came up, but man, that stuck with me. I was like,
that was at the end when Killmonger was dying and T'Challa was like, we can still save you. And he was like, why? So you can just lock me up. And that's what he said, just bury me in the ocean. Like my ancestors who jumped from the ships.
Yeah. Yeah. When they said that, man, I was like, oh, wow, man, that's deep. That is deep. Let's see. I also think it's kind of weird that back before with the first king, that like everyone knew they sent the king's brother off to like observe and be a spy and whatnot. But I think it's weird that with all their tech and all of their knowledge and whatnot, they didn't know that he had a kid.
Well, because the king kept it secret.
Well, yeah, but like the king isn't the only one that should be keeping tabs on his brother. You know what I'm saying? And
I guess he is. I don't know.
Yeah, but like, I don't know.
I mean, I guess like Zuri knew as well. So at least two people knew that he had a kid.
Yeah. But like, does no one else in the Wakanda nation care about where the king's brother is?
I mean, they're spies. You can't like, you want to keep information about spies to as small of a group as possible.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, I get that, but the king's brother is kind of a big important dude, you know,
I suppose.
Not just like some regular farmer Joe. He's like the king's brother.
Yeah. Well, king's brother chose to be a spy.
Yeah, true. The guy with the fake hand. I have no idea who he is, man, but that guy was a character.
The character's name is Ulysses Claw, and the actor is Andy Serkis, and he, oh my gosh, he was just killing it. He was having so much fun the whole time.
He was, dude. He was having so much fun. Holy shit. Like when he jumped in the car, like during the car chase scene, and he was like, hey, put on some music. What do you think this is? A funeral? Yeah. Oh my God. I lost it. I was like, this guy is fucking hilarious.
after the fight in the casino, and they go outside and he was like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. He was like, that was so much fucking fun. Let's do it again sometime. Oh shit. That was too good. That guy was a great character in the movie.
Yeah, I'm almost sad that he died because I would have loved to see him again in future movies.
I agree. I agree. I feel like they could have like, you know, been, you know, gone around it rather than like just kill him off. But yeah. It is what it is. No, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, everyone on this movie, I think, did a good job. But there were definitely like, each person did a good job in a very different way.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, I feel like some actors were like very successful on like the emotional parts, and then other ones like really brought the like the action and the like power. And then obviously like actors like Andy Serkis is like he was just a fucking class act in terms of like entertainment.
I think we got the whole thing, and also actors being like just the geniuses in like their home.
But I think that's land, the other thing about, because we were talking earlier about how like Killmonger kind of challenged T'Challa in his belief about keeping Wakanda secluded, but it's sort of like a coming at him from both sides, because not only was he being challenged by Killmonger, but also Nakia, who he was interested in, also, like, every time he was like, hey, stay in the kingdom with me, come be my queen, whatever, and she's like, I can't do it. There's people suffering out there, and I feel like I need to help them. And so, like,
yeah,
you have the villain and his, like, love interest both being like, hey, we need to help people. And so I feel like that together is what sort of ended up helping him change his mind.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. That
also, like, helps you sympathize more with Killmonger, because you're like, yeah, he's the villain, but like at its core, what he's doing is the same thing that Nakia is trying to do. They're just doing it in very different ways.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really add on to that. That was good little run through there.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. It's a solid movie. Like I said, yeah, definitely one of the better ones, I think, in MCU.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I mean, there's only one more thing that I would want to add on top of everything that we've already talked about. Right. And that is, at the very end, the extra, where Bucky shows up again.
Yes.
I didn't expect that. I did not know Bucky was going to end up in this movie. I wasn't ready for it. I was like, yeah, hey, look who it is.
Because I think the last time we saw him was also in a post-credit scene at the end of Civil War. Because remember Bucky was like, I don't ever want to be like brainwashed again. So he was like, I need to be like put to sleep until we can get all this control-y shit out of my head. And so they took him to Wakanda in order to help de-brainwash him.
Yeah, to reset his ass.
Yeah. And so we're sort of just like catching up with him, and that you even like get a hint of it earlier in the movie, because when Ross gets shot, Martin Freeman's character, when they get to the lab, Shuri says something like, she's like, oh great, another broken white boy for us to fix.
Oh, that's what that was about. Yeah. Oh, I see. Very cool. Huh. I didn't put that together till just now. Cool. But yeah, that was like the end of my notes too. I just wanted to mention that. Oh, he like popped up. Don't forget about him.
Oh, one more thing. Did you catch the Stan Lee cameo?
Oh, did I? Wait. Yo, I might actually not have.
Ooh.
Wait, did I?
I'll give you a hint. It was in Korea.
I mean, I did not write it in my notes.
It was in the casino when T'Challa and Ross are at the craps table, and they're like, they both bet, and then they're like arguing, and before the round is played, T'Challa walks away, and then his bet wins, and Ross like tries to call over him to him to get his money, and then Stan Lee is like, well, I'm just gonna scoot these over here for safekeeping, and takes all of his chips.
Oh, that's it. That was him. Oh, okay. That was good. That was sneaky. I don't know if I didn't catch that. No, I remember that scene though. Huh. Damn, I'm frustrated I didn't see that. Oh, well. Oh, well, GG, go next. I think it's so cool that he's in all of their movies, like, even subtly like that. Like,
yeah.
I think that's funny.
All right, well, let's move on to trivia.
Yes.
Our first one says, in response to being asked what it felt like being one of the only non-black actors on set, Martin Freeman said that while filming, he realized, right, this is what black actors feel like all the time.
Oh, yeah. Get a little taste of it.
Second thing, Black Panther is the first movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe to have its opening weekend domestic box office surpass its production cost. It cost $200 billion to make, and over Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on the opening weekend, it made $202
million. Wow. You meant million. You said 200 billion to make. I was like, yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
No. Well, yeah. But they, wow, in 4 days, covered their cost.
That's insane, dude. I always wonder, like, with the box office, like, those profits. I mean, how, I just wonder sometimes, like, the financials. Like, do you think the actors get more, like, a bonus, like, if they surpass a certain whatever? Or do the actors just get paid, like, a set price and everything else goes to the...
The actors usually get a predetermined amount of money.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's stuff like like royalties, which is like for like if they use like a famous song, then something like that would be like it's not like you have to pay X amount of money. It's like you have to give us X percentage of your profits. So right. The more money they make, the more they have to pay.
Yeah, I just didn't know if actors were included in that. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think I'm pretty sure actors get a straight determined amount.
Okay. That makes sense. I should know that from the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp case, honestly.
The language spoken by Wakandans is actually a South African language called Xhosa. John Connie, who plays T'Challa's father T'Chaka, is Xhosa. And so they agreed to that language being the language of Wakanda during Captain America Civil War.
Cool. Did you practice the Xhosa?
I remember a long time ago, like watching an interview where some people were talking about it. And I just remember them saying it.
Interesting. Yeah, Xhosa. I think it's very cool when you hear other languages that don't just use our way of pronouncing like syllables and they use like, you know, like sounds.
Yeah.
I guess it's all sounds, but I don't know, like the, you know, the tongue clipping and all that stuff.
Yeah. And then our last piece of trivia is Killmonger's scarification was created through prosthetic makeup. Makeup designer Joel Harlow and three other makeup artists took nearly 2.5 hours to apply 90 individually sculpted silicone molds onto Michael B. Jordan.
Jesus, dude.
All those little insane dots he had all over his body.
Yeah. All his scars of people he's killed.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But then again, like if you think about it seriously, in other movies, it like, let's say, I don't know what other movie, maybe The Joker, it takes way longer to put in, like to put on makeup. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, like 2.5 hours is not like extreme. There are definitely like the Penguin from the recent Batman movie. Mm-hmm. Like that makeup is insane.
Yeah. Like it takes almost half the day to put on versus just right. 2 hours, but still crazy.
And I think I read something else that said after filming, he had Michael B. Jordan had to sit in a sauna for 2 hours.
Dude, that's crazy. I mean, it looked fucking badass, though. Let's be real.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
But yeah, that's all of our trivia.
Awesome. Well, I think, having talked through the whole thing and having gone over the trivia, do you have any like last remarks of the movie, like as a whole?
I mean, I guess if you've made it this far, I'm assuming you've seen it, but yeah. Even if you haven't and you just listen to this anyway, go watch it because it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's definitely something you should see. There's like a lot of great, you know, parts in it, good comedy-ish, not as much as like Iron Man or anything crazy like that, but...
Yeah, that's another thing. There were definitely, there were a couple, I guess, like cheesy, jokey moments, like when Shuri... does the like what are those joke about his shoes.
Yeah,
like that is a very it's a very like 2017 joke, like people don't really do that anymore, so that felt a little weird. But like no one in this movie is like Tony Stark kind of a quippy person. Like people aren't like making jokes and making fun of each other and stuff. It's just they're just like being normal humans.
Yeah, I think the only person that could have potentially done that is the sister, like the scientist. She could have potentially had a humor like that, but I mean, she didn't. So, but awesome.
Right. So for our listeners, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Luca, what kind of messages can they send us?
They can send us anything from, hey, I loved your podcast. I love your voice. I love you guys. You're the best. To critiques, to requests of movies that you'd want us to watch. And also like any advice that you can like give, or if there's something that you'd want us to do that, you know, you think would be a good idea, let us know. Let us know.
This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.